Next, we're bringing you a major update on that grieving mum from Wick who picked up the phone, called Scotland's Talkin', and got on live on the line to Scotland's Chief Constable. In January last year, June McLeod demanded special attention from Chief Constable Phil Gormley to look into the unexplained death of her son Kevin, who drowned in the town's harbour in 1997. Just a reminder of what happened.
The Procurator Fiscal told the police, then Northern Constabulary, of course, to investigate as a murder, and they didn't do it. I want you, Mr. Gormley, to tell me why your new police force is refusing to right that wrong and carry out a new investigation.
It's not something I can really go into detail on air, and I'm sure you'd appreciate that. I'm quite happy off-air to examine the circumstances that you've referred to.
Now, that call sparked a re-examination of the case file, although no further action was taken. But since then, the family's campaign for justice has celebrated more milestones. Our North Scotland reporter joins us live from our Inverness studio. Brian, you've got a lot to tell us on this, haven't you?
Yes, Ali, good morning, I do. I'm going to tell you a story. It's an exclusive story about our dramatic U-turn in things, a long-awaited public apology, and a new witness coming forward with shocking claims.
I heard a commotion, voices and scuffling or whatever, and then a splash. They just let him drown.
Oh my goodness, it must have been terrible for this person to witness Kevin. It's not fair.
It is incredibly difficult for parents to have to bury one of their children.
Rest in peace, Kevin.
I wish that February 1997 there'd been a thorough, proper and professional police investigation.
So that's all coming up in a moment, but I want to first take us back to just before Christmas, because something huge happened on December 22nd, but it may have got lost during our rush to get home from work and wrap the prezzies and so on. The current boss leading Police Scotland, Deputy Chief Constable Ian Livingston, he got on a plane in Edinburgh and flew over 170 miles to Wick John O'Groats Airport in the far north. And in his briefcase, there was a signed letter for the McLeod family, quite simply saying, "I'm sorry." Now, I was the only reporter at the meeting between the DCC and Kevin's family, and Scotland's Talkin' was the only media invited for a sit-down with Mr. Livingston, who told me why he was there.
To apologise for the very, very poor investigation into Kevin's death in 1997, but also to apologise for how they've been treated since then. And I've done that on behalf of policing. I'm the head of policing in Scotland, and I felt it was my responsibility to come and meet them personally and make that apology. What happened shouldn't have happened. I can't put the clock back. I wish I could. I wish that in February 1997 there'd been a thorough, proper and professional police investigation. My responsibility is to make sure if any such set of circumstances arose today that there would be a professional, thorough investigation and that no other family needs to go through what the McLeods have suffered.
So, Brian, what exactly went wrong in the first place and why the need to apologise?
Well, I'm quoting and paraphrasing from the letter, which says, "It is Police Scotland's unequivocal position that we fully accept that an instruction was indeed given by the then Procurator Fiscal to treat Kevin's death as a murder and to investigate it accordingly, a matter which Northern Constabulary at that time failed to do." It goes on to say, "There is no doubt that basic policing procedures at this time, such as door-to-door inquiries, were never carried out, and subsequently the opportunity to gather vital evidence missed, and that because of the initial police investigation failures, and based upon the evidence now available, we are unable to present any evidence which would clearly indicate the circumstances surrounding the cause of Kevin's death, either criminally or accidentally." Now, this unusually strong language, slating the legacy force, was actually the product of 4 months of negotiations on the language in this document, a sort of backwards and forwards exercise between family representatives, the DCC himself, and corporate legal advice.
So, Brian, is this really about compensation?
Well, it certainly paves the way for it, but Mum June has always talked about righting wrongs of the past, and frankly, no amount of money will ever turn back time.
I can't put a price on Kevin. I couldn't put a price on any of my children. And to be quite honest, I don't see why we should have to fight through lawyers and everything for incompetence of the police. We shouldn't have to fight for compensation. Money is not everything. All I need answers to why Kevin died that night. with massive internal injuries. It's ludicrous what they said, that Kevin fell on an ornamental bollard. It's laughable, but I'm sorry, I can't laugh. I can't even cry now. I've cried for 20 years and I can't shed a tear. I don't know why, but I can't cry.
So saying sorry may have been some boost for the force's fragile reputation, currently fighting daily public relations battles. But there did come a complication, and that's because, despite what the letter actually says, just 9 months before that, the Crown Office and Procurator Fiscal Service sent a letter to the family contradicting Police Scotland's latest position of no longer claiming not to have any record of an instruction being given to treat Kevin's harbour death as a potential murder inquiry. Here's his dad, Hugh.
Before police come out and say that, yes, a murder inquiry was never undertaken, how can the Crown Office turn and say that, you know, a full investigation was done? It's impossible. When it was given from the Procurator Fiscal to the police to instruct them to do a murder inquiry. Now, when the police never conducted a murder inquiry, the Procurator Fiscal then should have said to the police, well, you haven't done what I instructed you to do. Get back out there and do it.
So who's taking responsibility for this then, Brian? I mean, have you challenged anyone in authority about it?
Yes, I have. This was me trying to get to the bottom of that very mystery with DCC Livingston himself.
There's some confusion with the family, and that is they have in their possession a letter from the Crown Office and the Procurator Fiscal Service. It was written in March 2017, and it says that they are certain that a full and thorough investigation took place. And that obviously contradicts the letter that you've handed them today, where you've said, actually, none of that happened. The order was given, it wasn't followed, it wasn't done. So why is that, that there's this discrepancy by the two bodies within Scottish Justice in the same year?
Well, I think what there's absolute agreement on is that the death of Kevin MacLeod remains unexplained. I can't say if it was accidental, and equally I can't say if it was criminal. The investigation that was done at the time, it was not of an adequate standard, but the key element now is that are there any legitimate lines of inquiry that we can pursue? If there are, I will pursue them. But this case will never be closed.
This case will never be closed. Ian Livingston said there, Brian. What do you say on your knowledge of the case?
Well, it's not really about what I have to say, but rather what this next person who you're going to hear says. Scotland's Talking is protecting their identity using the voice of an actor. You're about to hear shocking claims made by someone who's come forward, and that's after almost 21 years of Kevin's family not knowing for sure the truth surrounding the last moments of his short life.
I was walking home and I decided to walk on a little hill above the actual harbour. I heard a commotion, voices and scuffling or whatever, and then a splash. I went to investigate. I saw the two people and Kevin in the water. I believe he kind of went under the water. I must have made a noise because the two people looked round and one gave chase. I didn't want to get involved if they were having a fight or whatever, then I probably would have snuck past them. But when I realised that it was the boy in the water, I kind of breathed in. They looked round and I thought that because they'd seen me, they would have saved him, but they didn't. They just let him drown.
Brian, what can you tell us about this person? Are they credible?
That's not for me to decide or to tell you, but Central Belt-based detectives from the Specialist Crime Division have actually met this eyewitness twice now, and a formal statement has been taken by these major crime cops. That happened with the support of a social worker, and that's because this person does suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder and also other mental health issues.
Great, but I suppose I'll ask this question that many are maybe asking the radio at the moment. Brian, why has it taken this long for this person to come forward?
Well, that is something I did actually ask him myself, although you did hear in his claims earlier that he was chased, and a feeling of fear is something that this eyewitness has woken up to every day since that occasion in question. And I've actually taken Kevin's mum, June, to the very spot at the centre of these fresh allegations. This was June's reaction.
Well, I'm really shocked. I'm just shocked. I'm really cold and shivering, you know, and just picturing Kevin now. Oh, my goodness. It must have been terrible for this person to witness what he saw. It must be horrific for the crime squad I really do hope you get the individual or individuals that did this to Kevin, because it's not fair.
Heartbreaking to hear, Brian, and I gather that Dad's Hugh's also having a bit of a hard time digesting this potentially major breakthrough.
Yes, that's definitely true to say. I was actually with Hugh on an upsetting visit to Kevin's gravestone. And while Hugh is disappointed and frustrated that this person hasn't come forward sooner, he is certainly trying to look at the bigger picture.
For nearly the last 21 years now, we've been led to believe by the authorities that Kevin's death was nothing other than a tragic drowning accident. With this witness coming forward now, it's turned everything on its head.
So what do you think's next, Brian?
Well, this is what Highland MSP Edward Mountain has said. He's calling for a fresh inquiry to be launched, and at the highest level.
It is incredibly difficult for parents to have to bury one of their children. And it's entirely right that the family do everything they can to get to the bottom of this incident, which I don't think we have done. Now, there's been some new evidence that has come forward, and I've written to Ian Livingstone to ask him if we can discuss this, and he will meet with me and the family to discuss this new evidence, to progress a further investigation, because Police Scotland now owe them a proper investigation now in light of the new evidence.
I want to leave you with a final thought. It's one that keeps Kevin's family awake at night, and we've touched on it a bit, that this mess might not actually exist now if Northern Constabulary had carried out basic police work in 97. A secret so-called independent report written in the early 2000s detailed all these failings, but a copy given to the family is heavily redacted, and most of this is actually hidden behind black marker pen. And I should also say that it took the family 5 years to get hold of this Cameron report, and only after the intervention of the Information Commissioner. 7 pages are missing from a section in the family's copy, and they detail all the Northern Constabulary officers from junior to senior ranks accused of potential misconduct. Now, Police Scotland did inherit this headache from the legacy force, fair enough, but what did the new force actually do about it? Here's me asking the man currently leading the Constabulary.
Are you aware in that report whether you inherited officers from Northern Constabulary who are named in those sections that talk about misconduct? And if you are you aware of any action that was taken against those individuals? And if it wasn't, why wasn't it?
There's a lot of issues you've raised there. What I've undertaken to do is with a fresh eye, with an independent eye, to make a full and thorough reassessment of all elements in regard to Kevin's death. Both the investigation and the poor investigation at the time, and then the subsequent handling of that by policing. So all these matters I will consider, and I will share as far as I can as much information with the McLeod family, and I've given that undertaking to them when I met them this morning.
And a particular request directly to you from the family was that they want to see the Cameron report unredacted. It's redacted more or less on every page, and even some pages, paragraphs are missing, or whole pages are not there. So is that something that you will do?
I will look, I've given that undertaking, that as much information as I can lawfully share, I will.
So a commitment made at the end of last year. Of course, time will tell whether DCC Livingstone will make good on that promise. And of course, I'll keep you updated on the progress of this case, Ali.
Brian, thank you very much indeed for coming on and bringing us up to date. Brian Rutherford, our North of Scotland reporter in our Inverness studio, thank you once again for that. A lot of information to take in there, and we know that we've had the family on the phone since then. I've spoken to Mum, and our thoughts are certainly with them in this rough time that they're going through in the hunt for justice.